The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Also be advised that there's a sensitive content warning for this episode relating to suicide, self-harm, and other mental health topics. Welcome to Shatter Sports Girl Talk, your home for all things women's sports. We've got everything from athletes breaking barriers to industry professionals breaking the glass ceiling. I'm your host, Katie LeBoudelaire, and today I'm joined by TMU Bold Women's Soccer goalkeeper, MLSC Game Operations Crew, and youth soccer coach, Lisa Pellucci. So today we're joined by Elisa.
Hello.
So Elisa, you kind of touch women in sports from every angle. You're an athlete, a coach, you work in media and operations a little bit. Why don't you start with a little background of how you got into sports and became so passionate about?
Okay. So I think I started playing soccer when I was like 3. So my family is like really deep rooted in sports. I have an older brother and a younger brother and a dad who were always involved in sport. My dad played football growing up. He was a quarterback. Even my mom was involved in sports. She was a volleyball player. Like, they were both pretty high level. My brother played soccer and hockey. So it was like kind of like just something to follow in through. My dad had been coaching soccer for like 15 years, probably by the time that I was born. Like, he had been coaching since he was a teenager, so it was only kind of natural that, like, when I was like literally 3, they're like, okay, you're playing soccer. And I was like, okay. I really hated it at first. I was that kid who would like pick flowers, like do cartwheels. I like was terrible, but I really wanted to continue doing it because my brother did it, so stuck with it for a long time. And you know, took a little bit of a break when I was maybe like 7, but once I was like 8, I saw my brother was like really talented at soccer, and I was like, okay, this is like, now I need to get serious. I really want to do it. So started taking it a little bit more serious. I was such a hard worker, but a terrible player, and I literally just run up and down the field, but somehow I ended up being a goalie when I started playing rep soccer when I was like 8. And I just thought, like, you know what, I hate running, so maybe this will be better for me. And it ended up being the best decision I ever made. So yeah.
You touched on a little bit, but in soccer, was there any moment at all where it was like, okay, now you're going in net, or was like no one else volunteered?
Yeah, it was, so literally I remember I was like such a quiet kid. Like, well, I was a very like selective kid, so I was either like super loud or super quiet. And the team that I originally played on, like, it was like, my parents were shocked that I made the team. Like, they were like, are you sure? Like, it was like the biggest club, like Woodbridge, every kid wanted to play on it. Like, my parents literally, because they're very well versed in sports, so they were like, are you sure? Like, we understand if she's playing on a B team or a C team, like, she doesn't, like, we don't think she should make the A team. And I made the A team somehow. And they were like, yeah, no. And I would always watch the girl who was going in net. I was like, man, I kind of want to do that. And then by the end of the winter, I was cut from that team, like, obviously. And I went to a new team. And, like, we had our first exhibition game. And they were like, oh, does anybody want to go in net? And I was like, I know my parents are going to yell at me, but I, like, raised my hand. And they were like, put your hand down. And I went in net. And somehow I did really well. And it just stuck from, like, there on out. So yeah,
you said along the lines like it was mostly your brother that really made you want to take it seriously. Was there any moment that you like remember where you're like, oh, this is something I want to do, or was it just kind of always something?
Yeah, so definitely, like, I always like thought I was like moving away from soccer. Like, I never like could have imagined that like this was like gonna be like my whole life, because it literally is now. But yeah, I definitely say like my brother played a big role in it, and I just like saw like the competitiveness like he had in it. So I was like that really like intrigued me. I think there was like one year, it was like the year or 2 years before I started playing rep soccer, like I played with these other girls too who like really loved soccer, and I was like I was a year younger, and like I looked up to them so much, and I was like, wait, I want to become like really serious about it. So probably something like that.
Yeah. And then what was kind of the path from that youth team, or like youth competitive team, you started in net, and then what was the trajectory of like playing competitive?
So it was a very long road. So I started playing soccer for a little club, well, at first Woodbridge, a big club, and then obviously got cut there. And then I went to Kleinberg, where I lived there at the time also, and it was kind of like one of the smaller clubs, but it was more at my playing level, I guess you could say, at that time. And it was kind of like a group of like misfits of like kids who like literally didn't make other teams. And we lost like every game that first season, except for two. Okay. And every game in that, like, I played maybe like half a game in that. And then by the next year, things turned around and we were the best team. Like, crazy. I became a full-time goalie. I'd go to goalie training like every, like, I would say like every week, twice a week. So I started at like 8, I would say. So especially at that time, there weren't a lot of like girls who were solidified goalies. I was one of the only ones. So that meant I had to train with boys a lot. So throughout my whole life, I would say I trained and also later played with boys. So yeah, I stayed with that team. We became one of the top teams in Canada from the ages of like literally 9 to 12. So I stayed with that team. We moved to an academy called Bryst when I was 12 because there were lots of politics going on
as many sports.
Yep. So yeah, we moved to an academy called Bryst, which my parents now actually own and operate.
Okay.
So that came a little bit later on in life, not when I played there, but that's how we kind of got introduced to them, but loved it there. When I was there, I got the opportunity to play with both boys and girls. So the boys team didn't have a goalie and they were like, hey, like, do you want to play? And from a young age, like, I was pushed by my coach. I had a really, really strict Russian coach, and it maybe like affected my mental health back then. I mean, probably still now, but it was like perfection was always the goal. So I was always a strong, I would say, goalie as a child. But so I started playing with boys and girls, and I think like when I started playing with boys, like that really like shotgunned like my growth as like a soccer goalkeeper, if you will. So after that, U13 is kind of like the stage where you start playing 11v11, and there was this new league called OPDL coming into the scene. So being that I was playing on a team that was super strong, we were one of the top teams in Canada, like at a young age, which is crazy that you're recognized at that at such a young age.
Yeah.
I wasn't really getting many shots at that time, and my coach, I struggled with him a lot and a lot of different factors. So my parents were like, what if we don't follow the team? Because the team was leaving to go to another club that played OPDL. We're like, what if you try something different? What if you go to a place where you're more tested and have to be a difference maker? So I ended up moving to a team in Mississauga called Dixie, where I played there from when I was 13 to, I think, 17 or 18, just before I went away to school. And I played on the elite team. So it wasn't OPDL. It was called the Golden Horseshoe. So, sorry, we would play all the teams in, like, the Peel region to all the way to Niagara. So it was a really, really strong league. And it was seen as lower than OPDL, but it was that league had been solidified for years before OPDL. So I trusted it. And you know what? Like, I went to a team that was the middle of the pack and ended up, we worked our way up to one of the top teams. We won Ontario Cup in my final year with them. So I kind of grew with that team. And sorry, super long winded, but in that span of time, I really like grew to be an important role on that team. And developed with the girls. And then at that time came when people are getting more serious, when some people are not. So it was definitely hard to like judge the trajectory of like the team and all my friends and the players on the team. But you kind of have to start going off on your own. And that's what I did in terms of like recruitment process. My parents were obviously like super in the know of what was going on. So having been through this before with my older brother in hockey, so started reaching out to coaches on my own, going to different combines and stuff like that. And then, just ended up like going to the right places, I guess, at the right time, and ended up going to the US for my first year or half of my first year of school.
Diving into going into post-secondary, when it came time to pick a landing spot, how did you kind of end up at St. Cloud?
So it was definitely a weird process. So my recruiting process kind of happened like at the peak of COVID. So like seeing girls who were like recruited before me, I always saw them committing and like grade 9, grade 10, like super early in high school. And I always knew that that was something I wanted to do. Like, I had never looked at a school in Canada in my life. Like, from the time I was 12, I was like, okay, I'm going to play in the U.S. Like,
yeah,
whatever, that's going to be my goal. And then COVID hit. And, you know, in the U.S., like, teams didn't stop playing, but we did. So it was, like, definitely a really challenging time. So there was this organization called FTF, and they host these combines and these showcases, I guess you could call them, and it's players who come in, like, register, and it's like of all different whatever, around the same ages. Like, I remember the first one I did, it was mainly 2003s and 2004 players, some 2005s, like a little mix in there, but it's girls who are seriously looking to go play at the next level, and a lot of university coaches would be watching. And on my own, I reached out to a lot of schools. I had the help of the head owner of FTF, Marcus Hansen, who was really instrumental in my recruiting process. He reached out to coaches for me as well, like tried to find different schools that were a good fit for me. For me, it was like finding a school that could balance like my educational and my athletic needs. And again, it was super hard to do that in COVID. So I think it was the summer before I was in grade 11. And I finally had like narrowed down my list of schools that I was talking to. And I went, and I literally in the summer, I went for a whole week to three different schools, four different schools. I narrowed it down to my top four. And I went from like Florida to Pennsylvania to New York to Minnesota. And it was crazy because like it was at that time.
A road trip or?
Oh, planes, trains, everything, cars. Like, it was at the time where if you entered over the border, like, you couldn't get back. It was so many quarantine issues. So I started in Florida at Jacksonville D1 school. I've never been a person who liked hot weather or anything like that. Absolutely did not like it there. Then I went to New York, D2 school, and I loved New York. I've always wanted to go to school in New York or Boston. Loved that school. They probably gave me the best offer. They really, really wanted me. But at that time, I wasn't sure that I wanted to go to school right in the city. What was my next school that I was visiting in Pennsylvania? A little D3 school called Dickinson College. Okay, this was probably like one of my top choices. Like, I really, really liked this school. And I went there and I practiced with the team. And I'll never forget this day. I like fainted on the field. It was like 45 degrees. I was like the only, like, it was literally just like a one-on-one. And it was like such a terrible day. Like, I fainted and I was just like, oh my God, like, I really want to go here. What's happening? And this was like my third school of the week. And I was just like drained by that. And I was like, oh my God. And so obviously everything happens for a reason. I had to leave right away from that school to catch a plane to go to Minnesota. So I was about an hour and a half from Philly, where I flew out of, to go to Minnesota. I had to be on the field in Minnesota, in St. Cloud, which is 2 hours away from the airport in Minneapolis, at 9 a.m. And there was a time change also. So I got to the airport in Philly the day before. In the afternoon, I was supposed to leave at like 5 o'clock, I would say. The plane didn't leave till like midnight. So we arrive in Minneapolis like at 3 a.m., waiting for our rental car, have to drive 2 hours to St. Cloud, and literally got like maybe 2 hours of sleep, like fully. And I go to St. Cloud, and in the morning, like, I get a text from the coach being like, hey, like, we might be indoors, so you're gonna need indoor shoes. And I did not have indoor shoes, so I run to go get some of them. It was literally like the most, like, everything that could go wrong was going wrong. Yeah. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, wow, like, the school I wanted to go to, like, already things were messed up. I was like, it almost felt like this was like a last resort in a way, but it wasn't. So I go there. I end up, it was like they had invited all of the top recruits, and they had an ID camp. So we were all placed on one team, kind of like the top recruits, and then the rest were just whatever. So I got to the school in the morning, and I was like, somehow managed to like put myself together and just go. And I remember meeting the coaches there, that I had like multiple Zoom calls with them throughout the year prior. And I remember actually, like, the one reason like I knew about this school was I had seen an email from them like in my inbox, and I was like, wait, I know this logo. Like, I'm a big hockey fan, obviously. So I was like, they were in the Frozen Four the year before. Like, I need to, like, respond to this school. Like, it was so funny. So I was like, because they're D1 for hockey, D2 for soccer. Yeah. And, again, being a big hockey fan, I was like, that's one school I need to, like, go and see.
Yeah.
And so I end up killing it the day, like, I went to go play there. And and my mom just, like, randomly was talking to the head coach as she was watching. And she was like, how was, like, your trip here? And my mom was like, actually, like, you wouldn't believe, like,
yeah,
the issues we've had. And she was like, wow, like, you couldn't even tell. And she was like, she spoke with so much confidence and this and that. And I was like, man, if you think, like, this is me at confident, like, just wait and see. So after that ID camp day, they kind of texted me, like, there's a lot of different, like, NCAA rules that you have to follow. So they were like, hey, you're gonna leave the campus, go back to your hotel, and then I'm gonna text you when you can come back, and we're gonna talk. So waited for the text, went back, and went into the office and met, and they offered me a spot on the team, presented me with a scholarship, and I was, like, literally, like, after everything that happened, I was just, like, literally started crying. I was like, oh, my God, like, this is the best thing that could have happened. Like, the facilities were beautiful, absolutely. Like, I was just, like, a kid in a candy store. Like, my eyes were, like, wide open, and I was, like, in love with the place. Like, I was, like, it's... like, awesome. And the coaches said everything, like, right. Like, I was like, wow, this is the place for me. And yeah, then they were like, we're not gonna, like, accept you saying yes today. Like, you're gonna go home, you're gonna take a week to think about it, and then they're like, and then, like, we'll talk next week, and you're then, if you still want to say yes, like, say yes. They just wanted me to be sure. And yeah, so that's how I kind of got there.
Yeah,
long-winded story, but yeah.
Yeah, no, the process is so different. And I know you were saying, like, especially finding the right one for your program. Mm-hmm. And there you were in, what was it?
Sports management.
And, like, I had the same problem, like, looking around for schools if I were to go to the States for, like, softball or anything.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, like, no one has, especially, like, D2 schools, which is, like, maybe more attainable. Like, it's hard to find a good program, and balancing that, like, now here, and we'll get into why you
mm-hmm.
switched here, but, like, this is for sport media, especially, like, this is the best option.
And it's so, the place to be, honestly. Yeah,
especially, yeah. Like, and now you're in a city, so you get mm-hmm. that experience, too.
Exactly.
It's, like, basically mini New York here.
Exactly, exactly.
But, yeah, so then your time at St. Cloud, and then maybe what led to switching?
Yeah, so what I thought was, like, such a great thing for me. So again, I was committed by the time I was in grade 11. I went into grade 12, like, being like, okay, perfect. Like, it's so, like,
no stress,
just get to relax. I ended up having, like, a massive injury, like, when I think I got injured December of my grade 12 year. And I ended up being out for, like, 8 months with, like, a really bad shoulder injury. So that had a knock on my confidence all around. Like, my confidence always stemmed, like, even outside of soccer, from the field. If, like, I knew I was always the most confident on the field, and that just carried over into my everyday life. And then not being on the field, I really struggled with that for a lot, and I worked really hard to get back to it. And I didn't really want to tell my coaches either that I was injured, because it was like, I'm going to this school. Being a goalie, of course, is also very different. Positional players, you can get minutes here and there, but a goalie, there's like three or four of you, and only one person gets to play all the time. So that already was a big worry in my head, but I was like, okay, I'm not going to say anything about this injury. I'm just going to keep fighting back, whatever. I ended up recovering by the time I went there. It was all good. Didn't obviously have the season I wanted to going into my first year, so that was also tough. And before I left, like, I was already getting a little bit nervous to go there, as one would. And then when I went there, I had to be there at the end of July. So I literally had basically been out of, like, high school for, like, a month, like,
yeah,
just under a month. And I was like, wow, like, it was hard. Like, being like an 18-year-old kid at the end of the day, like, I'm 15 and a half hours away from home,
yeah,
by car, 2 hours from the airport. So it's like, I couldn't really,
yeah,
even, it was really tough. I'm going to be honest, like, to say I wasn't homesick was, like, would be a lie. It was tough to be. I'm a very, like, I come from a tight-knit family, so it was really difficult to be away from my family, and especially going through preseason, and it's a very trying time. You're practicing twice, yeah, a day on the field, lifting, and it's just a lot. I also ended up getting injured, like, literally within the second week of preseason, and I literally couldn't walk. Like, it was just, I had an my IT band in my knee was flared. So it, like, even though you couldn't really, like, see anything was wrong, yeah, just, I literally physically couldn't walk. and it made it really difficult to be there, and it was tough not having everybody who was there. They were pretty close to like their hometowns, so a lot of family was around, and I found that tough. I was like, wow, like the one thing I want right now is my family to be here. And you know, I was like decently close with my roommate, but it was kind of a scenario where it was like, you know, like would this person be like my normal like support system if I wasn't living together. And she was super sweet, and I could not say any bad thing about her, but it was just tough because I didn't feel like I had that person to like confide in, and I felt like I was really alone. Like I described this like to like my parents, and I spoke with like a social worker there too, and I was like, I have like 29 people around me, but I've never felt more alone in my life. Like I just felt like a shell of myself. And I remember talking to the coach like after preseason, they have meetings with everybody, and I went into my meeting and she was like, so how are you? And I literally just broke down and started crying, and that's my immediate reaction anytime like I'm upset. I'm a crier. But she was like, she was super supportive at first. Like she was like, you know what, like we're gonna get you all the help you need. I'm here anytime you need me, anytime you want to talk, my door is always open. So I left that meeting, I felt so like supported. I was like, great. Like called my mom, I was like, this is great, like Coach Jade's gonna help me, like on it, awesome. Like, and then things just kept getting like harder and harder and harder, and I was just like, again, like a shell of myself. And I remember I reached out to her one day and I was like, hey, I'm really struggling, do you have time to talk? And she immediately called me, and it was like a morning, I'll never forget, it was like a Monday morning, and she called me and she was like, hi, like sounded like so pissed off. And I was like, okay, like I was like in tears already. Like she was like, is everything okay? And I'm like, you know, like I'm just like really struggling right now, like is there any way you have time to talk? And she was like, do you want me to meet you at the I don't really remember exactly what the building was called, but it's where you send people when they're suicidal. And I was like, wow, this is coming from the person who told me you can come to me with anything, we're your family. And I'm like, and your first resort, I haven't even said a word, and your first resort is to be like, just push you there. Like, that's not it at all.
Not the support I needed.
Not the support I needed. And I was like, wow, like, she really doesn't care when it comes down to the time. I called my mom after that phone call, and she was like, that's it. Like, she was like, that's like your final straw. And I was like, yeah, like, I said, I don't feel like I'm valued here. I don't think this is a place where I can thrive. Like, I'm a shell of myself. And again, I was like, the best way to describe it, I've never felt more alone in my life with so many people around me. And he was like, you need to go, you're worth so much more than this. And I'll like hold on to those words for a long time, because it was what I needed to hear. And I at first I was like, am I quitting? Am I this? But that really just validated exactly what I knew in my head. And this was not for like a lack of trying of being there. It was something that wasn't healthy, and it took a lot of strength to kind of leave there. I remember the day I was leaving, I was returning things to the library and whatever, and I saw a teammate of mine like run up to me. Like I saw she had a class outside or something, and she ran inside. And she was like, she was crying. And I was like, I was never really like that close with this girl. Yeah. So I was so confused. And she was like, I just want to say to you, I'm so proud of you. And I was like, for what? Like, I was so confused. She's like, nobody thinks you're weak. You are the strongest person on this team for leaving. She's like, this is not a good place to be. This is not a healthy environment. She's like, nobody is happy and nobody wants to be here. She's like, everybody is too scared to leave. And thank you for doing that, because you just changed that for so many of us here. And I was like, wow, like I never took it that way. And then I started crying, and I was like, thank you for saying this, because in my head I was like, wow, I look like a quitter. But it was quite the opposite. The easier thing would have been to stay there and just continue to go through that, but I made the harder decision to come home. And I'm proud to say that after me, like 15 girls left the team. Wow. And yeah, by the end of the semester. So I was
by the end of the semester.
By the end of the semester I was like, wow. And then more followed after the end of the year. So I came home, and it was a very, very trying year. It was like I always had kind of where I thought I would be.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? It's okay to restart. And yeah, that's kind of, again, the long-winded reason of why I left there.
Yeah. Well, it has been great having you on today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. This has been the Shutter Sports Girl Talk podcast with Katie LaBoudelaire featuring Elisa Pellucci. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you in the next one.